in all sorts of proportions unknown to themselves, and who call themselves independent thinkers, giving the name of minute philosophers to those who apply themselves to the rational part only. If these, I say, were warned not to carry on two employments together, which differ widely in the treatment they demand, for each of which perhaps a special talent is required, and the combination of which in one person only produces bunglers. But I only ask here whether the nature of science does not require that we should always carefully separate the empirical from the rational part, and prefix to physics proper or empirical physics a metaphysics of nature, and to practical anthropology a metaphysics of morals, which must be carefully cleared of everything empirical, so that we may know how much can be accomplished by pure reason in both cases, and from what sources it draws this its a priori teaching, and that whether the latter inquiry is conducted by all moralists, whose name is legion, or only by some who feel a calling thereto. As my concern here is with moral philosophy, I limit the question suggested to this: whether it is not of the utmost necessity to construct a pure thing which is only empirical and which belongs to anthropology, for that such a philosophy must be possible is evident from the common idea of duty and of the moral laws. Everyone must admit that if a law is to have a moral force, i.e., to be the basis of an obligation, it must carry with it an absolute necessity that, for example, the precept, "Thou shalt not lie," is not valid for men alone, as if other rational beings had no need to observe it, and so with all other moral laws properly so called, that therefore the basis of obligation must not be sought in the nature of man, or in the circumstances in the world in which he is placed, but a priori simply in the conception of pure reason. And although any other precept which is founded on principles of mere experience may be in certain respects universal, yet in as far as it rests even with the least degree on an empirical basis, perhaps only as to a motive, such a precept, while it may be a practical rule, can never be called a moral law. Thus, not only are moral laws with their principles essentially distinguished from every other kind of practical knowledge, in which there is anything empirical, but all moral philosophy rests wholly on its pure part. When applied to man, it does not borrow the least thing from the knowledge of man himself, anthropology, but gives laws a priori to him as a rational being. No doubt these laws require a judgment sharpened by experience, in order on the one hand to distinguish in what cases they are applicable, and on the other to procure for them access to the will of the man and effectual influence on conduct. Since man is acted on by so many inclinations that, though capable of the idea of a practical pure reason, he is not so easily able to make it effective in concerto in his life. A metaphysic of morals is therefore indispensably necessary, not merely for speculative reasons, in order to investigate the sources of the practical principles which are to be found on a priori in our reason, but also because morals themselves are liable to all sorts of corruption. As long as we are without that clue and supreme canon by which to estimate them correctly. For in order that an action should be morally good, it is not enough that it conform to the moral law, but it also must be done for the sake of the law. Otherwise, that conformity is only very contingent and uncertain. Since a principle which is not moral, although it may now and then produce actions conformable to the law, will also often produce actions which contradict it. Now, it is only in pure philosophy that we can look for the moral law in its purity and genuineness, and in practical matter this is of the utmost consequence. We must, therefore, begin with pure philosophy, metaphysics, and without it, there cannot be any moral philosophy at all. That which mingles these pure principles with the empirical does not deserve the name of philosophy. For what distinguishes philosophy from common rational knowledge is that it